I want to look at something about the life of Elijah with you this morning yet. And so let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 17 one more time, at least. And there the Lord says, I have commanded a widow woman to take care of you. We remember that Elijah, after he spoke to Ahab, then the Lord had a hiding place for him, a place where Ahab and his soldiers couldn't find him. And that was by the brook Cherith. And there the ravens fed him in the morning and the evening, and he drank from the brook. And so we imagine he was there for some time, because he was there until the brook dried up because of the famine. It's interesting, he pronounces judgment on the nation, but he has to go through it too. You know, we have to go through it too here in the United States. But there's a difference. God takes care of his own. And so we don't have to be afraid of what's to come, because we know that we belong to him. And so here in the 17th chapter, the word of the Lord comes to him again in verse 8. Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon. That's outside of the borders of Israel, among the Gentiles. And there, behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there. Interesting. Doesn't say widow woman was there. The widow woman was there. The one that God had prepared to take care of Elijah. And then it goes on here. And it says she was gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. I'm interested that this man told her to get him some water, and she quickly responded. And as she went to get the water, he said, oh, by the way, bring me back a piece of bread, too. And then she said, as the Lord thy God lives. She must have recognized that Elijah was a man of God. And so somehow, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. All I have is a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. I'm preparing my last meal for me and my son. Once this is gone, there's nothing left, and there's nowhere else to get it from. And so Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. I'm looking in my margin because there's a reference here. It says a full year. And the barrel of meal wasted not, didn't run out, neither did the oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Praise God. We know something about the plight of widows in the Bible, and it may be that way in other parts of the world today as well. The plight of the widows in the Bible days was one of desperation. Without the covering of a husband or some male close relative, she was left unprotected, unprovided for, and in danger of being enslaved. In other words, she was totally destitute. We have trouble understanding that. Women have many opportunities. They're well-educated. They pursue careers and are very capable of taking care of themselves in our society. But the way things were ordered back then, They were absolutely dependent upon a man to provide for them. And so here's a woman with a child, and she has no husband. She's trying to take care of herself and evidently not doing a great job of it, because she's run down to just a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. And she says, after I cook that, we have nothing. And I don't see any way we're going to get any more. And then he says, well, give me some first. She recognized somehow, was it the anointing upon Elijah's life that somehow made her to recognize his authority and to put trust what he was telling her? He said, listen, don't be afraid to do what I said, because thus saith the Lord, that food is not going to run out until God sends rain upon the earth again. And so she took a step of faith. She said, okay, I'll do what you say. And she put his need before her own. What if she made the meal and gave it to him, and there was nothing left for her and her son? But she took that chance. And she stepped out in faith, as it were, and she obeyed the word that God had spoken through Elijah. You know, there are a number of widows in the Bible. I started thinking about widows in the Bible. Tell me some widows that you remember in the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament. Okay. The widow that put in the one mite into the offering plate. Yeah, that's found in Luke, I believe. Good. The widow's mite. Come on, there are more. The widow of Nain. That's the widow whose son had died, and Jesus interrupted the funeral procession and raised him from the dead. Someone else?
The persistent widow.
Yes. Yeah, we talk about that widow that kept coming to the judge over and over again, avenge me of my enemy, avenge me of my enemy, until he finally got worn out and said, hey, I better help her. I don't really care about her, but if she keeps coming, she's going to wear me out. So he took care of it. That was a story that Jesus told. Someone else, there's more. Ruth, oh, you're saying a word. Oh. She's saying Ruth. Yes, thank you. Not only Ruth, but her two,
Naomi
and Ruth and Orpah. She was a widow too. Wonderful story in the book of Ruth, how God provided for that woman and brought Boaz into their lives. Anyone else?
Anna.
Yeah, the one that was in the temple, right? When they brought Jesus in to dedicate him to the Lord, there was Anna. Anna was, she was a widow for a long time, evidently. I wrote down in my notes, Anna, she was the widow for the longest time. Who was the widow for the shortest time? Just a few hours. Yeah. Yeah, Sapphira. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? In the book of Acts, they lied to the Holy Ghost. Who are you going to say? Abigail. Yeah, Abigail was a widow too. David. No. But I think that even Sapphira, it was just a few hours. And then she wasn't a widow anymore. She joined her husband, wherever he was. Okay. Yeah, I think that's most of them. There may be some others that we run across in the Bible. But in each of these cases, they all were in the same boat. They needed help that they couldn't provide for themselves, obviously. God used the ravens, whoever they are, to take care of Elijah to begin with. Now he says, okay, now we're going to move on. I'm going to take care of you in a different way. And he finds the most unlikely person, a person who couldn't even take care of herself. That's the one God is going to use to take care of him. It's the last person. you'd think of. You ever say that? That God made that person a blessing. That was the last person I would have ever expected to be a blessing to me or to provide for me. But God likes to do that. God likes to use things, to do things in such a way that there's no other possible explanation but that that was God. That had to be God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29, it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that meant not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." But God should get all the glory, right? And so God can use anybody. And God likes to use anybody. There's a song, "I'm just a nobody trying to tell somebody," or trying to sell, what is this silly song? "I'm trying to tell everybody about somebody, body, body." Yeah, I guess my daughter Natalie, because she knew the song, and she said, "Thanks, Dad. I can't get that thing out of my head now." "I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody." I forget the last one. Well, I guess that means God can even use you. And God can even use me. And we have to get our eyes off the vessel, and we have to get our eyes on the one who fills the vessel and the one who flows through the vessel. The Lord spoke one time through prophecy, and the Lord spoke and said, "The world does not need you. The world needs Jesus in you." That's what's important. And we need to get hold of that. The world doesn't need me. The world needs Jesus in me. And I'm just a vessel that he can use. And as I yield myself to him, as I seek the Lord, then I have something to bless others with. Some people think that it's a selfish thing to seek God all the time. My friend, he was holding a retreat, and they were seeking the Lord. They were waiting on God. They were calling on Jesus to come to them. And this new person that joined the retreat got up and said, "I think we're wasting our time here. There's a dying world out there. And here we are seeking God for ourselves when the world is dying all around us." And he said, "I think you're right." He said, "I think we would be wasting our time if we don't find God." He said, "But we have to get something for ourselves first so that we have something to share with the dying world." And so they kept seeking God. And after a while, that guy got the light, that minister. Shouldn't call him guy. And he began to understand, "You're right. You're right. I've been trying to give what I don't have. I need to get to God myself and get filled with the Lord so that God can use me and I have something to offer people." And his whole attitude changed. They said when he went home, his son came up to this pastor and said, "What did you do to my father? He's come home from the retreats, and all he's doing now is he's starting prayer meetings, and we're seeking God like we've never sought him before." Well, that's exactly what God wanted to show him. You can't give what you ain't got. And so here's this woman who had nothing, but she was able to give because she stepped out on God's word and she put her trust in what God had said. She gave herself. "Okay, I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to give myself, my son. We're just going to surrender ourselves to and submit ourselves to the word of the prophet and trust God to do what he said. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, there's some verses there where the Apostle Paul commends the church in Macedonia for giving a gift, 8, 1 through 5. I put a 1 instead of 2 1s. 2 Corinthians 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. In other words, he's saying, here was a poor church. They hardly had anything. And yet, when they heard that the church in Jerusalem was in need, they were begging us, let us contribute. Let us be part of that blessing. And so it says, they did, not as we had hoped in verse 5, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. They said, listen, we belong to Jesus, and we're here to serve him, and all that we have is his. And if he sees there's a need in his body, we want to be part of supplying that need. We want to be used of God, vessels in his hands. And he said, but they gave themselves in deeper consecration to the Lord first. And then they offered to God what they had, and God put his blessing upon it. In verse 14 and 15, I have marked down here as well, by inequality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. It's written, he that hath gathered much hath nothing, and he that hath gathered little hath no lack. But thanks be unto God. Here's talking about there's times when God will use you. And don't be afraid to give, because God will make it up to you. God will supply your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so give yourself to God and say, Lord, I don't have much, but if you can use me in any way, I'm willing. Some people, they wait. They say, well, when I get a lot more, then I'll have enough to give. You know, our church is not a big church, and we can't send out hundreds of dollars to the missionaries. Sometimes we send out $50 or $25. But we say, Lord, we're not going to wait until we think we have so much or more than we need, you know. But we're going to give what we can give. And Lord, if you put your blessing on that $25, who knows what you can do with that and how far it can go. And we have to learn to live that way. Just give what you have. Give yourself to God first and recognize everything you have and everything you are belongs to him. And then make it available to him. And if he says give, you're going to say, but if I give that, how am I going to do this? If God says give, give it. God will take care of that need. God's no man's debtor, we say. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Don't be afraid to give, because God is able to fill you with his grace and make sure that you're well taken care of. So when God puts it on your heart, then make sure that you obey. And that takes consecration. That takes faith. You have to trust God. Okay, God, I'm going to give, but I have some needs too. But I believe that if I give to others and get my eyes off myself and don't hoard things for myself, that somehow you'll take care of me. Now, of course, the meal and the oil speaks to us of our daily need of feeding upon the Word of God and getting a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost in our lives. The Lord's not just talking about food and bread here. He's talking about, he's teaching us a spiritual lesson. We pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. We have to learn to be consistent about seeking God, consistent about prayer, consistent about reading the Word of God, consistent about getting out to God's house and being together with God's people. You know, there are some people, they lack that consistency. There are some people in our church, they come one Sunday, they don't come the next, they show up the next. I was telling someone recently, I said, you know, on a holiday like Easter or Christmas, I look over the church and I'd say, wow, thank you, Lord, where do all these people come from? And then when I look at them, I say, oh, I know them all. There are people. They just never come together at the same time. One Sunday, this one's here, that one stays home. The next Sunday, that one may come, and this one's now gone for 2 weeks. You know, if you miss one Sunday, then you're out of church for 2 weeks, right? And if you miss another Sunday, you know, it's like you're not in church for like a month. We have to learn to be consistent, day by day, my daily bread. We have to develop that habit when we get home from pilgrim camp. One good thing about camp is it gets you back in the habit if you've gotten out of it, right? Now, you know, don't have much of a choice, right? You have to listen to people like me every day, twice a day. And you have your devotions in the morning and prayer meetings that you're required to be at. Well, go home and keep that up. I don't mean, you know, maintain the camp schedule. That would kill you. But you say, Lord, I got a good start. You know, when I was learning to ride my bicycle, my father would run alongside me and I'd be pedaling. He'd be holding it up. And then once I got going, he gave me a good push. And then I kept going until I fell down. That's what you get at Pilgrim Camp. You get a good push, right? Okay, and then Jesus says, keep pedaling, keep praying, keep going to church, and I'll now keep working. In Exodus, it tells us that the children of Israel gathered just enough manna for one day, except on the Sabbath. Before the Sabbath, they weren't to work, so God let them take it for 2 days so they wouldn't have to work on the Sabbath. But he didn't give them a week's supply. He didn't give them a month's supply. He said, okay, you gather your food this morning, and you'll have enough to get through this day, and tomorrow morning there'll be more for you, and the next day there'll be more. And so he wanted them to trust him. Give us this day our daily bread. In Psalm 92, the psalmist says, I will be anointed with fresh oil. Yesterday's oil is not good enough. I have a bottle of oil, which I use to anoint people. But lately I've opened that bottle and the oil smells a little rancid. I think we need some fresh oil. And the oil can grow stale in your life too. God has a fresh touch for you every day. It might not be exactly the same as you experienced the day before, but we can pray, Lord, give me a fresh touch today. Fill me afresh today. Just make that your prayer to begin with. And you'll be surprised what God will do. Sometimes you'll be very conscious of it. Sometimes you won't. But that's okay. Pray that God will give you fresh oil. In Psalm 68, it says, he praises the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. And in Lamentations, it tells us God's faithfulness is great. His mercies are new every morning. His compassions don't fail. Great is thy faithfulness. Jesus wants us to keep coming to him. Keep coming to him. That's how he keeps us close to him. Lord, I'm coming to you, okay, for bread, for oil, for strength. Strength for each day. Bright hope for tomorrow. There's a place in the last verse that I have here is in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, where it says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, Jesus went out, departed into a solitary place. That means a place by himself. And there he prayed. That was Jesus' practice. He was always busy. And so he needed time to get alone. I remember Brother Gray, Dr. Gray, some of you know that name. He was a man of prayer. And he said, there's a verse in the Bible, and it could be this verse. It says that the more the crowds kept coming, in the original Greek, he knew the original Greek. He said, the more the crowds kept coming, the more Jesus had to get alone to pray. Some people say, I'm too busy to pray. Jesus said, I'm too busy not to pray. I have to pray because I'm so busy. And so in the morning, arising a great while before day, while the other disciples were still sleeping, Jesus was all by himself with his heavenly Father, getting fresh oil, fresh manna, because he knew that he had to have something to give. And there were many people that were going to come hungry and broken and needy. And he was just a vessel. And he had to have something to give them. And there he prayed. So the Lord uses the most unlikely people, even you, even me. And we don't wait until we have more than enough. We give everything we have to God and we place it at his disposal. And if he says, give it, we give, knowing that he'll take care of us. We don't have to hold back. We can give. You know, there's some ladies in our church that they're very faithful with their tithes and their offerings. And when we have a special need in the church, we need to repair this. They're the first ones to give. And that deeply impresses me because some of those ladies, this one lady works so hard and she sends money to her family in Haiti regularly. And she tries to budget her money. And I know that when she gives, she feels it. It's a sacrifice. Like that widow that Brother Jonathan called our attention to. Jesus said, look at all these rich people. They're putting all this money in the offering. He said, you know, they have so much that's not going to change their lifestyle at all. They're still going to go home and they're going to have their filet mignon and they're going to go on vacation and they're still going to live the comfortable lifestyle they've always lived. He said, but that woman, you don't think she put much in there? She's going to go without a meal today because she put in that mite. She's going to feel it. That was a sacrifice. And God sees that sacrifice. And God will bless you for it. So give when you have nothing to give. But get something from God. And then let God use you. And let's remember every day, Lord, speak to me, feed me. This is my bread, the bread of life. And Lord, give me fresh oil today, a fresh infilling, a greater infilling. And we'll find that if we live that way, that we'll be in a place that when someone in need comes to us, we'll be that vessel, that channel through which Jesus can flow. Amen. Praise God. Let's sing Channels Only. That's number 120 in our hard-covered books. I've been trying to get our young people out a little earlier in the mornings so that they have some time before they have to go back to work and yet at the same time be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And so we'll end now. And yet I never chase anybody out. If the meeting's over and you still want to wait around and pray or be prayed for, always feel free. Okay, here we go. I'm doing it in 4 flats.
How I praise thee, precious Savior, at thy love, lay hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I through a witnessing thy power to save me, setting free from self and sin. Thou wantest to possess me in thy fullness, Lord, come in.
Going to ask Sister Elizabeth, our boathouse lady, would you pray with us, please? Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your holiness and power you look down on us in love. We ask that today you help us to reverence you, our right to love you with all our hearts and to serve you with all our lives.
Yes.
With joy because of how good you are. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Praise God.